Last week we began a new series looking at 2 Timothy, and just to remind you that this was Paul's last letter that he wrote. He's writing it to his dear son in the faith, Timothy, and it's really pouring out his heart to Timothy and some words of final remembrance and encouragement to him. And we're going to be coming across a two-word Greek phrase. It's not here yet, but it's later on. Sude, but you. And it's sort of the summary of the whole book. But you. Others may be going astray, may be following false teaching, may be forgetting the lessons I have learned, but you. Sude, but you. Timothy is called to be different, and we begin seeing that here with verse 8. We'll be reading verses 8 to 14. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which has granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason, I also suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit, who indwells in us, the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Watching one of those financial shows on TV, and a woman called in, and she was pretty nervous. Her husband didn't believe in banks, and he had something like $80,000 hiding in their mattress. And she was concerned that somebody would hear about it, somebody would break in and steal basically their life savings. Well, she was advised to at least put it in a bank. It would be federally insured. It would be safe. He wouldn't make a whole lot of money, but where he had it now, the very best he could do is keep the money. At worst, it could get stolen. And I suspect, like you, if you're like me, it makes obvious sense to have money in a bank. Well, why? Because it's something valuable. And you maybe have a safe deposit box where you have some things in safe storage. You want it kept safe. It's important to you. For some, it might be their marriage license. Maybe some sort of family history or records or whatever it is. But you want it there safe, where it's not easy for a thief to steal, where a fire would not devour it, and all the rest. You want it kept safe because it's important. Well, that's really the image here as Paul addresses Timothy. Timothy has been entrusted with certain things for safekeeping. He's to remember what he's received, to remember how valuable it is, and then hold on to it, and not to let it be taken away from him. And so it requires a commitment on his part, faithfulness, loyalty to what he's received. And that's really the essence of 2 Timothy. As I summarized it by those words, Sude, but you, Timothy, you be faithful, you be loyal. It doesn't matter what all the others have done. It doesn't matter what Demas has done in running off and in abandoning me. You are to hold on. You're to hold on to what has been entrusted to your care. You are to be different. And so this section begins with the word therefore. It links it back. As Paul has just been describing what Timothy has been given, he has been given the Holy Spirit to aid him in this work, so he not doesn't have a spirit of timidity, a fear, of cowardice, but of power and love and self-control. He has what is necessary for the task at hand. And later on in verse 14, Paul again mentions that the Holy Spirit dwells within him. Again reminding him, as you face this test, you have what's required. Not in yourself, but in the Holy Spirit who's helping you. And he begins by giving him two commands in verse 8. Two things that he's enabled to do by the Holy Spirit. First is he's not to be ashamed of Christ or of Paul as prisoner. And keep in mind that Jesus was executed as a criminal. We don't think of it very much, maybe. But he wouldn't have been seen in a good light by the Romans or by the Jews. And it'd be possible for someone who is timid, like Timothy seems to be, to shrink back from wanting to identify with him. But Timothy, you're not to do that. And maybe we feel like that sometimes in the workplace or the marketplace, as Christianity is being ridiculed. We're not to be ashamed. And the second command is to join in and suffer for the sake of the gospel. Now, it's not suffering for the sake of suffering, but suffering for a purpose. Suffering for the sake of the good news of Jesus Christ. And as you look at those commands and what follows them, it's a call to loyalty, a call to faithfulness, a call to steadfastness. As he's been given certain things, Timothy is called to be loyal to Christ, to be loyal to Paul, and to be loyal to his message, to his calling. It's beautifully expressed in Paul's life in verse 9. He calls himself his prisoner. Jesus Christ's prisoner. Paul could have said it in a different way. He could have said he was a prisoner for the sake of the gospel, or a prisoner for the sake of Jesus Christ, and we would have understood what that meant. That this is another one of his prison epistles that he wrote, bound in prison. But he typically puts it a different way. He's his prisoner. And he's pointing to a much different truth. That he's been captured by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has taken control of his soul. It happened on that road to Damascus. And the Romans could shackle his body. But the deeper reality is that he'd given himself body and soul to Jesus Christ. A willingness for which he was going to suffer, be in hunger, be in danger, be persecuted, and even die. Because Christ had taken hold of him. And he sees himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And he calls Timothy and he calls us to that same sort of loyalty, of faithfulness, of steadfastness. And so as we look at the first point, it's in verses 9 and 10. we, as well as Timothy, are to have a loyalty, a commitment, a faithfulness to Christ and then to the gospel. It's first of all a faithfulness to God and to Christ. Verse 9, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. And that last phrase is before time's eternal. It's the strongest way of saying it. Go back into eternity. Go back as far as you can. God purposed something to take place, and it was the salvation of his people. And so God's salvation is not based on anything that Timothy did, anything that Paul did, anything that you or I can do. It's based on God's graciousness in eternity past, what's often called sovereign grace. It refers to God's election, that God both initiates and brings about salvation according to his desire. And because of this, Timothy is to remember that grace, that mercy, that it's by God's favor that he's been called in the darkness and called to be an associate of Paul, called to carry on when Paul is no longer in his earthly body. And so, as he understands what God has done for him, what God does for anyone who comes to salvation, he is to give an unwavering loyalty to God, just as you and I are to give unwavering loyalty to God as we realize the greatness of his salvation to us. Secondly, he's to show a loyalty to Jesus Christ, who gives the victory. Verse 10, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to life of the gospel. Jesus Christ has radically changed all of existence. At the cross, death, the power of death was destroyed. Death is in some ways like a soldier wounded on the battlefield. It's not dead, but maybe it's bleeding to death. Can still fire off his rifle, but the final outcome has been decided. That soldier is going to die. And so we still undergo death. But it's like the final shots of that mortally wounded soldier. Death, one day, will be no more. We will triumph over death. Instead, we have life and immortality that comes about through Christ. That Christians have a life which cannot be taken away, which will never end. Eternal life, spiritual life. And Timothy and we are to give loyalty to Jesus Christ, who has accomplished this in a world that desperately needs to hear the good news that Jesus Christ has overcome death, the greatest of all enemies. Well, the second point is Timothy is called to be loyal, to be faithful to Paul. Loyalty, first of all, to one who has faithfully gone before. If you look at verse 11. For which I was appointed by God, speaking of divine appointment, a teacher, an apostle, a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. The emphasis is on those responsibilities that Paul has, that he was given as a leader in the church. Responsibilities that
really all Christians share to some degree, in that we're to be proclaimers of God's truth to those around us, to be wanting others to understand the knowledge of the truth. And he puts forth here that responsibility of being a preacher or a herald. The one who speaks on behalf of another, and the one who comes representing someone higher up. And Paul is saying, I was faithful to those responsibilities. And he's looking forward to the time when Timothy is going to be the one carrying on those responsibilities. And he's really reminding him, remember how I came to Lystra and Derbe. And how there was a young man listening in the audience. And God opened your heart to respond, to believe. And how he took that young man and taught him and trained him and had him accompanying him on the missionary journeys. Timothy is to remain faithful and loyal to that old teacher and what he has learned from him, the truth of the gospel. And even today, we don't walk with Paul, but we have his writings inspired by God to direct us. And we need to be loyal to that gospel that hasn't changed. Second, there's a loyalty in verse 12 to the one who's demonstrated the nature of loyalty. We're encouraged by the example of Paul to suffer these things. I'm not ashamed. I believed. I'm convinced. Paul knew no shame in his imprisonment because he knows the God who's directing history, in whom he continually trusts in all circumstances. When he was shipwrecked, when he was being beaten by the Romans or by the Jews, when he was hungry, was even in prison. He's writing so that Timothy would not retreat, but would be prepared to share in those same sort of sufferings. An encouragement at the end of verse 12 is that God is able to guard what's entrusted to him. And you think of Paul, he entrusted his whole life, his future, eternity, to God, to Christ. And he knew he would not be disappointed. And we can be equally confident. We can trust our future. We can trust eternity. We can trust our families, our careers, whatever it is, knowing that God cares for us and will take care of us. And Timothy is called to remain loyal. Loyal to his friend and father in the faith. To remember the way he prayed, the way he taught, the way he gave him responsibility. And do the same. And in a couple of weeks, Lord willing, we'll be looking at chapter 2, verse 2, where Timothy is instructed really to do the same thing, to pass it on to others who will be able to pass it on. The third point that we can see is that Timothy is to show loyalty, faithfulness, steadfastness to his own ministry, as it's there in verses 13 and 14. First, he's to remain true or loyal to the teaching that he's received. Because ultimately, this teaching is from God. Retain the standard of sound words what you've heard from me. Because Paul wasn't speaking human words. He was speaking a divine truth and the good news of Jesus Christ. And he's to hold that pattern. He's to hold on to those same words. And that word pattern would be used like an architect drawing a pattern to be followed. And the pattern that we as Christians are to follow is the teaching of the apostles. Those sound or those healthy words that give spiritual life that we find in the New Testament. And of course, in the background is the false teachers that Timothy will have to confront, has been confronting, who've wandered away from the truth, who are coming up with new ideas, new speculations. And it didn't end in Timothy's day. You look around and those same things are happening today. There are myriads of new ideas, new types of thinking, new thinking about Paul, new thinking about the Gospels. And if Timothy isn't watchful, and if we're not equally watchful, it'd be easy to maybe water down the message, make it maybe a little bit more pleasing to people, allow errors to come in and go unchecked. What Paul taught is to serve as a model for Timothy's teaching. And what we have recorded in the New Testament is a model for preaching and teaching today. Secondly, he's called in verse 14 to guard the treasure entrusted to him. Guard the good deposit. And go back, think about the bank. You guard it because it's something important, something necessary. The sound teaching of the gospel is to be guarded. God has been making a deposit in Timothy's life. It began with his grandmother, Lois, and then Eunice, and what they were building into his life, even as a little boy. And then there's that preaching that Timothy heard from the Apostle Paul, those experiences he had as he traveled with him, saw firsthand the apostle ministering to people. And those special letters, 1 Timothy that was written to him, and now 2 Timothy. To see those things as crucially important. And we as well. Maybe in a different way. Maybe it was through the influence of a godly grandmother, or grandfather, or godly parents that you're Christians. Or the preaching of some minister or some Bible study. But as you have been brought here to realize that God has been working and shaping you and bringing you to this point. He's made a deposit within you and you're to guard it. To keep it safe. To resist any efforts to turn away from the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. The Romans would have denied that Jesus was important. He was a mere criminal, dying a heinous death on the cross. The Jews would have said, he wasn't the Messiah. He was cursed, hanging from a tree. We must resist any watering down of the truth. The proclamation that Jesus Christ died on a cross so that our sins could be forgiven. With that message, we're to be like a sentry on guard duty. Constantly vigilant that the message doesn't change. Constantly watching for those who'd want to attack. Constantly defending from attack. And Timothy is reminded, just as we need to be, it's through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. what you cannot do by your own efforts, we're doomed to failure. You can accomplish with the help of the Holy Spirit by relying upon Him and by the power of God working through His Spirit. And thus Timothy is again reminded that as he has a ministry to carry on, and he's going to be facing dangers, he's going to be facing false teachers and all the rest, he must depend upon the power, the dynamite of the Holy Spirit. For our application this evening, that just as these words were a call to faithfulness, of loyalty, of steadfastness to Timothy, to hold fast to God and His truth that is found in Jesus Christ and the gospel, we need to do the same. And we have the same resource available to us that Timothy had. We have that same Holy Spirit. We need to be aware of the dangers there are, the attacks on Christianity, the attacks on the gospel. Because sinful men and women do not like to hear, because they can't make themselves right before God. We need to defend that truth that Jesus graciously saves by His death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for these words that were given to Timothy, but indeed were given to Your church. Words which stress the importance of staying true to You, to Your salvation, which is not by our works, but by the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And that reminder that we cannot remain true by our own efforts, by our own strength, but rather it's by the power of Your Spirit working within us. It's by His discipline and love working in our lives. Help us to really understand these truths, understand what it means to be not trusting in ourselves, but to be trusting in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. May that be true for each one here, down to the youngest child. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.